Welcome back, everybody. I'm joined for the remainder of this half hour by Professor Stephen Wright, a clinical professor at the UW Law School. He's a former trial attorney in the voting section of the U.S. DOJ. He litigated enforcement of the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, the National Voter Registration Act, and the Military and Overseas Voter Empowerment Act. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Stephen, you and I were talking in the break. I just want to share this tidbit because there was a listener question earlier about corruption and how elected officials seem to get very wealthy while they're in office, which seems to not square with how we intuitively think about what public service should be. And you pointed out, and I need to say it again, the Supreme Court has taken the teeth out of a lot of our anti-corruption laws over the last 10 to 15 years, perhaps from the last term. The most notable one of those was an explicit pay to play that occurred in a local government. The payment to the elected official was given after the contract was awarded, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's not corruption, that's just a tip, that's a gratuity for job well done. So folks, if you want to corrupt your elected official, just be sure you give them the money after they do the thing that you're asking them to do, not before, and all's well that ends well. That is a topic for a whole nother day. And Mike from Muscadet, I am going to do that Tuesday starting at 5:30. I'm going to be talking about system reforms to try to take the rot out of government. The first thing is to deal with money in politics, and I'll talk a little bit about the Montana Project on Tuesday afternoon at 5:30. Mike, I hope you join me then. But Professor Wright, let's talk about Louisiana v. Calais. What's at risk here? This has been argued and briefed. It's before the Supreme Court. And what do we think is going to happen here? It's a pretty scary moment.
Yeah, so one of the things that was a effect of the success of the Voting Rights Act is that discrimination became much more sophisticated. It wasn't okay to use the N-word anymore. It wasn't okay to close down polling places. And so what some southern jurisdictions in particular started to do was to draw their maps in a way as to dilute the votes of African Americans. And it wasn't limited just to the South, but primarily the South was the focus and the epicenter of the efforts to disenfranchise through dilution. So if you could draw a district that included a Black community where the Black community might get someone elected, those jurisdictions would specifically divide it up into pieces in order to make sure that didn't happen. And so in around 1980, both the courts and Congress recognized that this was a problem, and they created a mechanism under the Voting Rights Act, a portion of Section 2 specifically aimed at preventing this type of discriminatory vote dilution. And that law basically says if you're in a state, in a community where race still very much determines your life, where it defines your experience as an American, where the Black community votes for one person and the white community votes for another, in those extreme cases where there's racial disparities, where there's a history of discrimination, where, you know, a federal court must find that, you know, that racism and race still matter a great deal in that community, then if you can draw a majority-minority district, then you presumptively should. And so that's what happened in Louisiana. Louisiana satisfied all of those criteria, but they only drew a map in New York that created one Black district out of six, even though African Americans make up roughly a third of Louisiana's population. And so Black voters challenged that. The federal court agreed that ultimately they should get another majority Black district, but eventually that decision was challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court, and it ended up taking a sort of roundabout way, but ultimately the Supreme Court on its own decided it was going to ask, is this idea even constitutional? Can you force a jurisdiction in these communities with a history of racism where race still very much defines your experience? Can you force them to draw a majority-minority district? You know, for many of us, once again, we had thought that was sort of settled law, but the Roberts Court is obviously quite willing to change these type of things. And so, once again, we're having a discussion about the role of race plays in our politics and in the experience of each individual American.
It's stunning to me because you can look at these map drawing exercises. Louisiana's an extraordinary one when you look at the demography based on race. Black and brown folks in Louisiana, over 30% of the population. when Louisiana decided to draw their congressional maps, they had won 6 of the seats, or 16% of the seats. So you've basically, if you, and again, there are the, we don't need to get into the factors under, why am I forgetting the
jingles.
The jingles factors. We don't need to get into that. But if you think that, you know, overarchingly, black and brown folks have preferred candidates, 30% to 16%. You saw it in the gerrymandering in Wisconsin, where a majority of Wisconsinites, sometimes upwards of 60%, were voting for Democrats, but they had less than 30% of the seats. A halving of the voting power. Your vote has to have power in order to have meaning. It cannot be symbolic. That's what is so challenging and really dark about the Supreme Court's antipathy towards this provision, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. And I'll note, and I'm going to credit listener Mark from Prairie du Sac for pointing this out, the power of Congress to legislate in this way was written into the 15th Amendment, the 24th Amendment, and the 26th Amendment, which are part of our Constitution. So, and even in the second sentence of the 19th Amendment, to enforce these amendments with law in the Constitution, the amendments themselves were granting Congress this very power that the Supreme Court now, with this newly constituted, I'm going to say somewhat illegitimate, weird slant, is about to strip away from Congress, weakening congressional power in one of the moments where we need Congress to stand up the most. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Professor Stephen Wright.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate your time and your insight. We'll have him back to talk more about this important case very soon, folks. Stay with me when we come back. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit with a Friday installment of Ask Maggie. Get your questions in now, 855-752-4842.